coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. I wish we had a ticker tape parade that would just be Cole and I just ripping up pieces of paper, but we don't. So instead, we went one better than that, actually. I am Andrew Farmer. With me, as always, the Jedi Cole Houston.
Indeed, I am here.
Here he is. I thought we lost him for a second.
I had this enormous bronze helmet on.
Oh, yeah.
They're a lot heavier than they look.
I keep telling you to let me help you with that. You never do. You let me oil you up.
Yeah, except for some reason, I don't think about having you oil my head so that I can slide the thing off.
This is the worst conversation ever.
I think about
it. Clearly, you haven't listened to many episodes of the show.
That, ladies and gentlemen, is the sultry tones of Miss 300 herself.
Yes,
Kelly
indeed.
Long, back from a long hiatus of...
Kelly Long hiatus.
God. That's been our show, ladies and gentlemen. That's 300 for you.
Hello, Internet.
Yes.
I'm sort of, like, debating my tawdry joke.
Wow.
And that's like your memoir.
You went Shatner on that.
He took a long pause. He took a lap.
Man.
If we sound punchy and excited tonight, not only is Kelly joining us, which is enough in and of itself.
Well, which Kelly joining us puts the hot in the hot gates.
It does.
Oh, yeah.
You've had that joke chambered for like a week.
I have.
I love it.
I put it in my fenced-in area and... I nurtured it.
He did.
And then I've released it back into the wild.
It had a broken wing, and you took that broken wing and learned to fly again. Yeah. Fly again so free. This is our 300th episode. Holy shit, ladies and gentlemen. We have been building to this for
299 episodes. Really, when we started this whole show, it was solely so we could do a show on 300.
Actually, you and I,
we talked about doing 300 on, you know, what, episode 6 or 7, and we tabled it until about issue 90. And you know, the funny thing is, it never occurred. It just happened to time out that the 300th issue is. We're going to talk about 300.
Well, the funny part was we made a joke about getting to the 300th episode, like it wasn't going to happen. And now we're scheduled out through like 550, I think, some insane number like that.
Yeah, it's bordering on the 500s at the moment.
That's insane. Ow. That's insane. But tonight...
Tonight, there'll be yet another 2 to 5 episodes that will come to mind and push us further toward.
That's true. And it's all going to be about the best oil for these sweet,
sweet
12-pack that I've built here while I'm wearing my He-Man cross. Yeah. Tonight we're talking about 300. I know we've said it about 100 times, and then we've said it in about 100 issues leading up to this, but tonight we're finally talking about Frank Miller's seminal work, 300.
Many a joke about pages that can't be opened that come to mind when you say it that way, but...
And in essence, you know, not only did we bring Kelly into this because it has been, Lord, I don't know, a year?
It was, yeah, I looked on the log for the Skype. It was April of 2018, so not quite a year.
But long, way too long, number one. But number two, in topics like these, she always makes us look like mouth-breathing knuckle-draggers.
Yeah.
So
yeah, little wonder we started the show right off. You know, we went ahead and did that for you, Kelly, as a pass the savings on to you.
I just think we're thrilled. I think that there's been a lot of pent-up kind of sexual tension between. This is the moment that this is the moonlighting will they won't they moment for Cole and I. So it's all downhill after this, buddy.
That's right.
This is a really big hill for you.
It was Sisyphean. It was
Sisyphean.
Well, you know, it's like Miley Cyrus sings about, there'll always be another 100th increment episode. But then they thought that was really awkward lyrics.
Yeah, so they changed it to Wrecking Ball, right?
Yeah, yeah, pretty much.
So we need to start this not at the beginning. Because that's Kelly's domain. We need to start this with that constant bag of electrocuted eels. Not electric eels, but electrocuted eels. That is the crazy of Frank Miller. Holy Lord, where do we even start with Frank? I know we've done an entire issue on Frank Miller, but the man made this thing happen. You know how they do a how does this get made for movies or TV shows or albums? I want that for this. Because how do you sell this?
Yeah.
That's the thing about it is, anybody else, I don't think, could have sold it.
Right.
You had to be Frank Miller. There's this perfect storm that's called Frank Miller that begins to brew. It starts out as just kind of a mild drizzle somewhere off, and then the storm gathers as Daredevil.
Yeah.
And then it continues to build and build over things like by the Dark Knight, it's this monstrous deluge and hurricane winds, and then it's this unstoppable force that can then just walk in and throw down some sample pages and say, this is the way it's going to happen.
Well, and I didn't know that the inspiration for 300 came from a 1962 movie called The 300 Spartans. I didn't know that existed until I was doing research for this show. Kelly, have you seen this film?
Oh, yeah. Actually, it was one of my dad's favorite films, so I saw it quite a bit.
Did he like Gladiator movies?
My father...
Sorry, I couldn't
not
resist.
In that way.
The airplane.
It's so good. My dad loves The Seven Voyages of Sinbad. My dad loved the adventure movies.
Oh, God. He
grew up on the Westerns. He grew up on all of those adventurous tales. So anything fantastical to him, he was that guy. I mean, he was born in 1947. So he went through that, the space age stories and all the things. But when it came down to it, fanatical hero's journeys. It was...
Well, there was a time where the sword and sandals epic was... You know, that was a bankable Hollywood meme. You could pack the seats if you had some, you know, bronze shirtless hero and a leather thonglet racing about with a short sword and
warming me up.
Those pert thighs as they thrust giant oars.
And it's
into
always
the
sea. That goddamn Charlton Heston bringing everything to a grinding halt.
Sometimes it was Kirk Douglas.
That's true.
That's the name of my next album. Sometimes it was Kirk Douglas. You are absolutely
correct. The mighty cleft, chin cleft of Kirk Douglas destroyed every monster in his path.
Here's the thing. In the Ten Commandments, they needed something. I mean, practical effects, they didn't have CG, right?
Right. Yeah.
So they needed, when Moses parts the Red Sea, they needed some practical effect. Kirk happened to be around, and they just laid him on his back and used forced perspective on that chin to make it look like the divot was the water parting in the
Oh, yeah.
sea.
And then they just made like a little, basically, it was just little Israelites made from grains of rice on a string, and they would just sort of pull it across his chin.
And that's how it all started for
him. That's really, that was one of the finest practical effects ever.
They really, Battleship predicted my ass.
I mean, people don't know. That's how good it was.
I mean, to this day, yeah. We happen to be the only three people.
We have just Martha'd so many people with that.
That isn't even in the AFI film library. Like, we are the only three people on the face of the planet that know that that happened. Kirk doesn't even know.
No.
I mean,
he was passed out after a bender with David Niven.
Leave Sinestro out of this. All right. So 300.
Also known as Pale Sinestro.
Pale Sinestro. So, leave Johnny Depp out of this. So, 300 was based on the Battle of Thermopylae, right? I'm not crazy.
No, you're right on point there.
All right, so what happens in the Battle of Thermopylae? Let's break this down a little bit.
Well, what happened was that Xerxes, king of Persia,
had
Park Place and that was the Battle of Monopoly.
I had one of those with my brother.
Yeah, he had two hotels, and so it was just
pissed off all of his relatives
to land there for the Greeks. You know, it pretty much ruined the economy of Athens.
So.
Pass and go to the hot gates.
I really derailed our attempt at bringing real history into this.
The Battle of Thermopylae was in 480 BC, so it was almost at the height of classical Greek civilization. But the thing was is that Xerxes wanted Greece. He wanted all of that. But Greece wasn't set up like, you know, capital cities. It wasn't like – they were like little small – little small city-states that was called the polis. Sparta was one of them. Athens was one of them. Thermopylae was actually closer to it was north. It wasn't close to Sparta. They were called to it because the Persians were coming. The Persians kept invading. They just kept invading. And the Greeks thought the Persians were barbarians because they wore pants.
Well, I mean, yeah.
So, you know, for Greeks to think you're barbarian because of your pants – they often would, you know, in the art, they would paint the pants, but anything else that they thought was out of the ordinary, like the Amazons or women or anybody, they would put pants on them. So basically to save Greece herself, Hellas, they would have used the word Hellas, not Greece. But they called the Spartans in, and Thermopylae just happened to be – it's like that. I mean, Frank Miller did do that in the comic where he had the pass – and there was a traitor. I doubt Xerxes was a giant god covered in a scene from a horror movie, from a vampiric movie.
Yeah, I mean,
Anne Rice and Xerxes.
What was the name of the place in the mall where you used to get the ears pierced?
Easy, buddy. You're.
But
dredging.
It looked like he was like the poster child.
You're
for...
going for Hot Topic, and just let me stop you right now.
My friend. I think it was like rings and things or something. No, I'm pre-Hot Topic, you silly.
Claire's?
Huh?
I want to see Xerxes working out of Claire's.
No, he worked at rings and things, and you had to duck to get in the front there because mall doorways up 9 feet. And that's where he got his start because his dad
sorry.
Yes, and
I'm drawing a blank on his dad all of a sudden.
Bob. Huh?
Darius.
Darius, yeah.
I love Hootie and the Blowfish.
He insisted that, you know, Xerxes would, of course, be king by right, but he wanted him, you know, to have some real-world experience, so he worked at the mall for one summer.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to earn it.
Job so he could put gas in his Chevette.
Wow. Nice.
Chevette.
I keep getting it. Older, but these Spartans stay the same age.
But I remember I was familiar.
Sorry.
I had a passing familiarity with Thermopylae. There was some point in my history I'd heard things about, you know, just a smattering of Spartans holding back like a half a billion Persians. But I knew of Xerxes from like an old book of like Aesop's fables and stuff that my grandmother had. And this was not your grandmother's Xerxes, because that guy like had this savage beard and a face that was a yard wide, and he was just short and angry and brandishing two swords.
So is the implication that my grandmother's Xerxes is the one from the movie 300?
I don't know. It depends on which generation we're talking about.
I mean, she might have been into that. We didn't talk about that. She could have been into that.
She had a special room no one was allowed in.
Was it beside the other room nobody was allowed in? It was just filled with weird wicker furniture?
Wicker furniture and doll, porcelain dolls.
Yeah, it had one of those big Addams Family chairs and bookshelves to the 12-foot-tall ceiling with the ladder on a rail.
It said Maui, yeah.
Yeah, and the tiger skin rug. You know the room. Everybody,
you know what I'm talking about.
Everybody had the back.
You know what I'm talking about.
All grandparents had those.
Yeah. Oh, right. My God. So yes. So the Thermopylae was. Okay, I'm trying to keep this thing on the rails tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I'm really working on it. So where were we? So Xerxes wanted to take Greece.
Yeah.
So did they call in the Spartans like SEAL Team 6, or were they literally the closest to the action? Because that seems dumb. If you're Xerxes,
they weren't closest. But they were called in.
It was like the Warriors.
Was very much like the Warriors.
Oh, wow, yeah.
Nice.
You would have Delphians, you had Thracians, you had all sorts of different kinds of people. Actually, 1,000 of them showed up, but it was the Spartans that said, no, you leave. We'll take care of it. Pretty much.
The Thracians had to go back because by that time, Milos Gloriosus was raping their city for a third time.
Damn it. I think that's actual, like, he just dropped some historical, like, hammer on us.
No, it was, insofar as any Zero Mostel film is historical in nature, he raped Thrace, and he came back and raped it again, and raped it again. He raped Thrace thrice. Seriously? Oh, nobody knows if a funny thing happened on the way to the Forum?
Thank
you. Yes. Yes.
Oh. Hi, I was just about
Cole has the ability to summon out of context jokes from things he hasn't seen in 30 years at will. It's amazing.
Super proud.
But I will tell you that I believe didn't the Thespians come help the Spartans?
Yes.
Yeah, I've been with 700 Thespians. Let me tell you something. It's just one giant massage circle. They didn't need to be there.
Well, that, you know, But the problem is, it was just so much cigarette smoke.
Yeah, it was. It's
like the
person
you're
going to
see is a mile away. You guys are stopping for a smoke break every 20 minutes.
It's six semesters of pretending to be a tree, and then you're out in the real world waiting for your big break, trying to shop. Listen.
Working at Denny's.
Either working at Denny's or you're shoring up the defenses of the Greek Empire, one of the two.
Or both.
Yeah.
Well, you gotta have a day job.
At night.
They told him I would have liked to have seen the copy on that request that went out to agents for 700 Thespians to show up at the hot gates. Well, I mean, is it a speaking role? am I getting paid?
Bring
scale?
Your own cloak.
That's right. So. They did call. So it was like the Warriors. They said, go home. We got this. Yeah. And they were just okay with that?
Well, some of them were yeah, they were okay with it because there were thousands of Persians on the other side. And the Immortals was a real thing. That was Xerxes' personal guard, and they were terrifying. But the thing about the Spartans is Spartans have trained for war their entire life. Like, from the moment they were like 3 years old, they started to train. Everything was about training. They didn't even spend time in a home with their wives. They slept in their barracks with their warrior brothers. They ate dinner. Like, if they had a bride, they would meet the woman at night, and sometimes women didn't even know what he looked like, what the guy looked like. It wasn't a traditional society by any means. Not even
so.
Like,
depending on how bad a mud fence you were, it could be advantageous to be a Spartan.
Exactly, to be a Spartan, because if you were a good warrior, nobody cared what you looked like, as long as you didn't run in the face of adversity, worked hard, and basically kicked ass. But that society was considered weird, even in the Greek city states, because of the marriage thing was so weird. And if women, their only job, their only duty to society was to have children. They could exercise, they owned land, they slept with other men, because if their husbands were gone, they needed to continue making Spartan citizens. So they didn't care about stuff like that. It was
a very purpose-built society.
It was
like the Borg.
I was going to say, did they have Batleth? Because it sounds very Klingon to me.
Oh, that's true. It does.
So the book as it represents women was a departure from real Spartan life.
Yeah.
Okay.
The queen, you know, all that stuff with the queen, nobody would have cared.
They'd just been like, all right, boys.
Yeah.
The whole, don't forget your shield, you'll come back, you know, gladiator moment, like, what we do will echo through eternity bullshit was not real.
What they did will echo through eternity to guess, but not with the women. Like, the Spartans, they didn't care about glory. That was true. All they cared about was honoring Sparta, and that's where their glory came from.
Oh, and it's almost like the in Kentucky Fried movie, you know, it's like, well, Mr. Wu, you'll have the chance to kill 50, maybe 60 men.
Oh my God.
You're really going for it tonight, Cole. I love it.
We have company, so I'm bringing out the fine jokes.
Cole's like, when Cole has, you can tell when Cole has company he really, really likes and doesn't come over very often, because he's like a toddler that knows one card trick. You know, he's like the 8-year-old that knows the one card trick that keeps going up and like doing it. I'm making fun of Cole. Cole's a brilliant man.
I'm making fun of Cole.
It's okay, because this is sort of it falls a little flat, because normally he just says this like gushing praise and can't live without me. So I will allow him. I'm giving him the.
I can't live without Cole. I'm not exaggerating. I don't know what I would do without my brother. Which is why we're doing this episode, because Cole, I want us to start a camp where we just oil each other up and sleep in the barracks together and fight at the hot gates. You down?
We'll have to be sure to invite plenty of thespians, because apparently they bring the oil.
I was just thinking, Eddie. Eddie's going to be our thespian.
We can also tell when I'm just absolutely smitten with a guest, too. So.
Yeah, well, we both know how we feel. About yep. Kelly, we don't need. Just go back and listen to any episode from the beginning.
That's right.
Features Kelly.
It's like cartoons. We're just like sitting there with our chins on our palms, just kind of.
Well, I think at some point in the Wonder Woman episode, I think I said, "Do you want me to peel those grapes just under my breath?" I think you can catch it. I think it's like minute 10 or 11. Okay, so back to the matter at hand. So, the Spartans. Xerxes is coming through the pass, much like Blazing Saddles, And the Spartans are going to meet them, right? Okay, and this is a is
Xerxes meet Leonidas. Leonidas meet Xerxes.
this one of the is this one of the earliest recorded instances of that kind of, I think it is. I think I remember reading that this is one of the earliest recorded instances of that strategy, which is.
Yes, this strategy has been studied by every person in the military across the globe. Every modern military person studies the Battle of Thermopylae because of that.
That's
It
awesome.
was a 3-day battle, that's true, and it's like the Gettysburg of ancient
Yeah.
Greece, you know?
It really is
That's what
because
they called it.
it yeah, and they didn't even know what the hell it
I
meant.
know. It's pretty
And what was
amazing.
really ironic is Gettysburg was called the Thermopylae of modern America in its day, and nobody knew what that meant either because people didn't read about ancient Greece yet.
I think at some point Stonewall Jackson said, check Wikipedia, flip somebody off, and shot somebody with a musket.
That's right.
And they
Somebody
didn't
took a
use
mini ball to the
muskets.
head on that one. The one guy who knew what the hell Thermopylae meant.
Somebody
Boom.
answer me why Stonewall Jackson was using a
Yeah.
musket.
One mini ball through the femur, and that was the end of all the knowledge of Thermopylae at that on the battlefield.
Roscoe Wikipedia Jenkins died in the
My dearest Mary, I fear that I will not last the night. I want to pen these
You're gonna
final
kill
words for
Kelly.
you.
Please don't kill Kelly.
Remember me to Thermopylae. Your loving Wiki.
Remember me in
Bury me next to my coconut oil. So,
thespians were everywhere.
everywhere.
oh my
I
God.
felt like I was watching musical
Yeah.
Cats. What's the musical Cats? So 3 days.
Yeah, he was given a field commission of drama queen.
Do they win?
No, God, no.
Okay. They get real beat.
300 of
Well, I know there's I think that why do we tell this story as a story of, patriotic nationalism holding their own soil and not as a story of great hubris? Why is this?
Because I don't, I mean, while the Spartans were proud of themselves, I don't know if they were too, like they just wanted to serve their purpose. I don't know if it's hubris with the Spartans. I mean,
Was it a
granted,
foregone
I've not met a
conclusion?
Spartan.
Well, I think the impression I would get from a historical standpoint is, for one thing, it's pretty damned impressive what they
It
pulled
is.
off. I mean, there was no way in hell. Nobody had any illusions.
That's true.
It's like the Battle of Wake Island. None of those boys had any illusion that they were going to survive. So your father gave his watch to a gunner. But the thing about it is, if you look at that from the standpoint of Greece on a whole, the various fractured city-states, you've got to have this collective whoa at the end of those 3 days. I mean, it's a matter of what would ultimately be a nation, become a nation of national pride. It was sort of the germ of national pride that, a portion of us went out and kicked some serious ass for 3 days
So was it one of those, listen,
against all odds?
we'll hold them. You guys get back to where you need to be. Because, in my mind, I'm of two minds. Number one, it's that, right? Like, this is going to happen. One way or another, they're getting in. We're going to do everything we can to thin the numbers and make sure that, at least we have some time to prepare. Or number two, it's the epic Grecian battle version of me trying to get all of the Kroger bag into the house in one load. No, I got this. It's good. I got this. Yeah, I know. We got cat litter. It's fine. I got it. Like, no. So I'm hoping for the first and not the second.
you know, they formed a league. It was called the Peloponnesian League. Like, and that wasn't really something they often did. And that is one thing that, that the Persians did do for the Greeks, was bring them together. It would be many more.
Well, it was for the softball.
And in the softball.
The Near Eastern Softball League.
Denny Marshall went on to film a movie about the all.
Yeah. There's no dining in hell in baseball.
I'm going to get a shirt made. That's it. Kelly, I need your address and your shirt size. That's this year's all-con shirt. There's no dining in hell in baseball.
Baseball.
And it's going to be, I'm going to figure out a way to get Tom Hanks, but I'm going to put that helmet on him. Eddie's going to do it. I'm going to put that helmet on him. Did you know that they had the plumes in the helmet so they'd seem taller? Because the Spartans were very short people.
Well, they all squat and bent up.
Well, the one guy was.
Yeah, he was. He was.
Was that guy accurate, or was that an invention? How do we know that? Like,
which guy?
The
traitor?
Did the Spartans have the dead baby pile? Like, if you didn't measure up.
That's it was kind of like
Rafiki in The Lion King, except there was a tragic side as well.
They're the ancients.
You know, they didn't show you a bunch of lion bones at the bottom of the cliff there.
No, they don't. No, but that was common across the ancient world. That had nothing to do with Sparta. They were just pickier.
Rome,
if a baby was born, it was up to the father. That father could lay a baby outside the house and nobody would think anything of it. Like, they just...
Somebody threw another good baby away.
That's right. Look at that.
Look at all this bath water. Another one.
No, they kept the bathwater. There was the irony.
That's we've had it wrong.
That's good bathwater. You leave that in the house.
We've had it wrong for 2032 years. We've had it wrong. I'm estimating. But that's what makes me think that this is going to be a reference to our show and not to anything horrible. The Snaggletooth Hunchback.
That's right. Yes.
Wouldn't have made it as far as he did.
Right.
Yeah, Batman was sort of like the anti-Leonidas.
Right, just kept him around. Let him be reindeer games. Yeah.
He probably could be good, like, welding stuff.
Right.
It's like, the Hephaestus of Sparta. Make me something.
That's right.
So talk to me. I'm just really interested in a bunch of stuff. Like, this is cool because, like, so Frank Miller takes this story that we've been telling and creates a graphic novel out of it. Huge. Every page is like a splash page.
Yeah.
Like, you want to talk about hubris?
Right.
Every page is it is beautiful. It's also. A lot of people accuse him of being, because Frank Miller has in recent years spun out into some strange nationalist thinking. And a lot of people accuse this of being nationalist, but as you've just heard, he wasn't far from the source.
No.
I mean, maybe the fact that he chose it had something, you know, to do with that, but the source wasn't. He didn't take a whole lot of liberties with his creation. He took some.
Well, no, and I think also that barring Frank Miller being a several thousand-year-old Grecian...
It's possible.
Nationalism fails to enter into the narrative here.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're proud of the fact that Methuselah-like, you've been around a long-ass time and somehow got into comics...
He wants to live forever, buddy. Chris, you don't know. Thank you. By the way, I've got to say it. Did anyone else besides me see Bohemian Rhapsody?
Oh, I did. Oh, hell yes.
Kelly, have you seen it?
I have not.
Oh, God. Can I give you one little spoiler?
Sure.
It's not a spoiler. I mean, we all know what happens to Freddie Mercury.
We all know.
There's a scene where he's getting diagnosed with HIV.
Which we also know, yeah.
We know that happens. But the music in the entire movie, as you can imagine, is beautiful and perfect. And the movie's so well done, and it deserves any accolade it gets during award season. But the song that they chose to play over those scenes where he's getting diagnosed is Who Wants to Live Forever.
Are you serious?
And I was like, 75% of the population that's watching this film right now, this is going to be extremely poignant and heartfelt. 25% are giggling under their breath right now.
Yeah.
Because the only song they could have chosen that would have been worse than this is the Flash Gordon theme song.
Oh, God.
Every time I hear that line, all I can think of is Clancy Brown clicking in a cassette tape in a crappy car.
Right, but instead you're looking at the TV. But you're looking at a giant movie theater with Remy Malek, you know, getting diagnosed with HIV, and they start playing it. And I literally said out loud, oh, no.
Well, you know, in all fairness, it was the hospital music. They had no control over that.
That's true.
It could have been anything, you know.
It was oddly
serendipitous.
If
he'd been diagnosed 20 minutes earlier, he'd have been listening to Roy Orbison, Candy Color Clown, they call the Sandman. It's my room. It was just a matter of time. That happens to be when it happened.
So in Frank Miller's 300, right?
Right.
They took some liberties, but there's some questions that I have that maybe we can shed some light on. I think we all know that Xerxes wasn't a 9-foot-tall god man. But he, you know,
he probably thought he was a god for real. I wouldn't be surprised at that.
Yeah, there's certainly a prevalence of sort of that godhead. And that's then sort of handed down from father to son, and undoubtedly would you know, that sense of godliness would just increase with each new generation.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean,
look at the ancient Egyptians. I mean, they believed. And to a certain point, Romans.
Mm-hmm.
Once Julius Caesar had himself deified, they did that all the time after that.
Yeah.
They did.
So while Xerxes wasn't a 9-foot-tall god man, Leonidas did, and we're not going to get into the blue territory that we got into before the show started, but he did go to the Oracle, right?
Oh, yeah, they would have always gone to the Oracle. Before any war or battle, that was true. Now, was it some tripped out, naked woman writhing in a under the water?
Absolutely, it was in my version.
Yeah, and incense and peppermints, baby.
I mean, yeah, literally every from you know every time they're invoked anywhere in the ancient world, that's my go-to.
Every time the bell rings,
now
is you know or like milk pale virgins in sort of strange
that.
Levitation.
Weird shape of water.
Yeah. Yeah. So they would have gone to the Oracle. The Oracle was under the influence of something often because in certain areas, I think it's in – is it modern Delphi – where there's a space in the Oracle – where they believe the Oracle's chamber to be in Temple of Apollo that is fenced off because there's a schism.
Oh yeah, there's
in the
a
earth, and
like
the fumes
sweet
are
natural still, gases that
right,
come.
The fumes are still coming out, and you can literally pass out from it. And so they had to fence it off. So this poor woman was probably high as a kite, but she would whisper things, and the priests would translate. It was rarely, you know, I have a hard time believing that what the Oracle said was actually given because oftentimes the priests were bribed.
Oh yeah. They're going to, they know who their audience is.
Yeah.
Big air quotes translate.
Well,
yeah. And you know, she's either going, quoting Monty Python, orange water, give them a bucket of plaster. Oh yes. You will have great riches. She says.
Yeah, pretty much.
So yeah, they would have. But was it so inbred and gross? Doubtful.
Yeah, I don't imagine they were genuinely like these scabby old leches holed up on a reverse mountainside.
Yeah.
You know, that arches outward. I'm guessing that the approach to the Oracle was a nice, comfortable path. Maybe they'd even invested in some cobblestones. Because if it's that difficult to get there, you don't get a lot of dough. And if you get a lot of dough piled up, you can't really spend it. If you're stranded up at on the plateau of Roy Rama.
But in Delphi, at the for the Oracle of Apollo, there was a large winding path, and there were buildings that the different city-states would come and build their treasuries. So these are the things that we are giving to the gods. So like it was like walking through that little kid's store at Christmas time, where there's all these windows filled with delights and things and gold and the garish little buildings, and the more disgustingly gross it was, the better. It was just bright colors and phallics and all the, it was super fun. I'd love to go there today.
So you fell us at the palace tour.
Exactly.
I would love Depending to see Kelly guy. As an oracle, no. Just high as balls.
Just to see how accurate your stoned out proverbs turned out.
Fun fact, Kelly drank too much red wine on Halloween, doesn't remember anything, but her stepdaughter said the next morning that I tearfully said, I want you to get a job so you can afford to buy a car and pay for shit. I was like, Kelly has a lot of wisdom.
So we're going to treat these things. So here's what I want you to do. Once a month, blackout drunk, set up a recorder, and we will take those things, play them on the show, and then put So Saith the Oracle afterwards.
Some of the people back in the day, Philip and Chatham, used to get me drunk so they could ask me questions about U.S. presidents.
All right.
That does not surprise me. Even just the smallest bit.
So weird. I don't know why. They're like, then they would tell me later, like, how do you know that? You told me you were drunk.
So they would pump you for historical information.
I was like, you can just ask me.
Yeah, I don't have to be drunk. I'll just tell you.
I don't need to be drunk and tell you about Benjamin Harrison.
I thought you might get more accurate feedback.
I need an unfiltered biography.
Right.
So among the things that Frank Miller brings to bear in abbreviating this battle, I actually took a little time. I got curious and looked at some historical information. And Thermopylae wasn't solely at the Hot Gates. There was a naval battle as well, which does not make a smashing film.
No.
And it sort of interrupts your narrative if you want to make these guys look like the serious badasses they were times 10.
Right. Yeah, it of course it was a naval battle. It's in a port. I mean, Thermopylae's right there. That's how the Persians got there. They didn't go up through Thrace and Macedonia and Thessaly. They came across from Ionium.
So why didn't they just, you know, come into port and fight there? I guess I'm confused.
They landed and they landed and they moved in. Like, it was a large army. It took them a long time to get there. Like, you know, like Homer writes in the Odyssey, it took a long time for all of the various Greek city-states to unload before they moved on to Troy. It wasn't like, you know, that port, it wasn't like there was docks out there waiting, like, come on in, Persians.
Right.
Yeah, well, yeah, it certainly wouldn't be like, you know, it would be more for maritime commerce than staging the largest army in the known world.
Right. Exactly.
It's like, oh, wow, yeah, guys, I'll tell you what, we'll waive the port fees, and We're gonna have to have a schedule. We're gonna have a rotation.
You're gonna have to pay off the.
Jeff Goldblum will play the part of the Doc Master, and that's really part of how they won is just the delay at the port.
So okay, fine. The damn Persians aren't going to give me the answer I want. That's fine. Whatever, Persians. Let's double back. There was something that Kelly said that I wanted to touch on that I hadn't, that I think we blew by. So much is happening right now. You said the Immortals were based on a real fighting force.
Yeah.
Now, I'm guessing they weren't Persian ninja men with, like, samurai swords and, like...
Not quite.
Batman and drama masks.
Yeah.
They weren't the guy from Planet of the Apes with the or Seventh Voyage of Sinbad with the masks.
But I'm guessing they were pretty badass, regardless.
Yeah, it's a specialized force. Those would be, I would call those like the Navy SEALs, that they and they were always with him, but they weren't always like their reputation preceded them. Like that's one of the best. Ways to defeat people in battle is to scare the crap out of them before you even arrive. Yeah. That's what happened to all the pirates. Half the time they didn't even fight. Captain Cook, he just scared the crap out of people and then boarded their ship and took their stuff and left. He didn't want to fight. So even then, that's the point.
Cost effective to have to actually go into the kind of cinematic pitched battle. The idea is, as they would say in the Civil War, keep up the skier.
Yeah, exactly. So don't fight as much as you can, because it's a commodity. And there wasn't a giant rhinoceros. I'm sorry.
Well, that sucks.
I know.
Man,
there was in Black Panther.
There was in Black Panther. It was real.
Yeah.
Yeah. Totally real.
It was real.
No, you know how they built Hobbiton about a year before they... filmed Lord of the Rings.
They built that giant rhinoceros.
They started pumping that baby rhino full of steroids.
The next thing I know, you're going to tell me Wakanda isn't a real country in Africa.
Yeah. You can't tell me that. It's been around since the 60s.
That's true. So are there any other, glaring differences between... the comic before we move into the movie, because there are some things I think we need to touch on.
Absolutely, in the movie.
Yeah.
It's Frank Miller. It's so Frank Miller that it's, you know, when I think about Frank Miller stories, I just envision Frank Miller is looking at his first Jackson Pollock painting going, this is it. This is my life. Oh, I get it now! And everything comes into focus for young Frank Miller.
That's horrifyingly accurate to my brain, like, what it seems like he would do. Like, he's like, I have to... And for some reason, he never knew he had it, and he just reaches in the closet, and there's a black leather fedora. And he's like, this is my life now. This is who I am.
Well, and also, what's remarkable about 300 as a comic is this sort of there's no economy of scale,
right?
You'll have and for one thing, the formatting in the kind of like legal size paper landscape version that you get this tale where half the time it's an entire page or half a page is taken up, and then some small number of panels just sort of haphazardly thrown out, like you're playing Texas Hold'em, and each panel is a card, and the formatting of it is so unique, but so Miller.
Right.
It harkens back to the time when I think Frank Miller was underappreciated and overappreciated in his day.
Mm-hmm.
During his tenure on Daredevil, and there was the one issue where it was just like, why does everybody think this is genius? It's like 22 pages of onomatopoeia.
Right. Frank did love his onomatopoeia.
He did.
And Frank also wasn't known for his restraint in any way, shape, or form. You say economy of scale if you've ever read Dark Knight Returns. Like, Batman takes up three panels.
Right.
Joker looks like he could have been in that that Shufflin' Bears rap video for the Chicago Bears. Like, his shoulders are so wide. They're Xerxes wide. Yeah, and speaking of not known for their restraint and their economy of scale, the way I understood it was he pitched this idea to Zack Snyder to have this movie made, and not the other way around.
Really?
That's the way I understand it. Now, that doesn't necessarily make it true. I said I would love to see like an actual documentary on the career, like a Whatever Happened to Superman type documentary, like the Nick Cage Superman movie, like a real behind the scenes, how did this come to pass type of thing. But from what I understand, it was like at a convention or something like that, and he actually, you know, they approached Zack Snyder and not said, let's make this movie, but they got to talking, and I guess Zack is a huge fan of 300, the comic, and, you know, what was Zack Snyder coming off of when that was made?
Probably a combination of Robitussin DM crack.
Good joke. Oh, nicely done, sir. I gotta say, that was quite the setup.
I was like, if that isn't where you were headed, it is now.
Dawn of the Dead. So he had just come off of Dawn of the Dead, the remake of Dawn of the Dead. It was very popular, actually. As far as a remake goes, as far as an IP goes that he took and made into something new, you know, that had big name stars in it. He worked with Romero. He was doing the circuit. James Gunn wrote the screenplay. So, you know, he became a hot commodity. And then they made 300. And 300 was insanely popular.
Yeah.
If you would have told me that a movie based on Frank Miller's 300 graphic novel was going to be one of the highest grossing, most popular comic book movies, I probably would have fainted. I would have had the hot gates. Don't Urban Dictionary hot gates. Whatever you do. Don't do it.
No, that could name any three things that are not as bad as the picture you get.
Yeah. Cole's been hard at work on Urban Dictionary creating the definitions for hot gates.
So. Yeah. And it took a lot of work looking through old, 19th century medical journals to find the illustrations, because apparently the hot gates have largely been eradicated by modern medicine. But back in the day,
blue
that was
waffle is an urban legend, Cole.
What?
I said blue waffle is an urban legend.
That's right.
But hot gates aren't. Gold bond. But they went panel for panel on this thing. Almost.
Yeah.
I mean, as much as you can consider it a panel, because, again, we were just talking about how relevance of scale doesn't mean anything to either Zack Snyder or Frank Miller, they almost went panel to panel with it. One thing that I thought was really interesting is the deviation in the style of traditional, I guess, Spartan, and probably generally Grecian, if my memory serves. I did take some classics classes in college, if Kelly will remember. The deviation in the style of the armor between traditionally what is understood and what Frank Miller did, because they had a lot more chest plate traditionally, I think, than the kind of strappy number that they were wearing in the book and in the movie.
Yeah, I mean, with that kind of just nothing but a shield and a posing pouch, you'd wind up being like the in the history of the world with the defeat of the Cretans at Sparta. I mean, the Spartans at Crete.
But one thing that Frank Miller did come out and say is that he based that armor on Superman. And that's why they have the red capes as prominent, and that's why they have like the symbol right in the middle of the chest.
Well, the Spartans, they were only given a cloak. Like, they weren't given, they didn't really think that clothing was important. They didn't sexualize things. And so to them, it was just the vessel in which they fought. So
how,
because and also they would just toughen up kids, huh?
I said, good Lord.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's they were badass. They didn't look, they didn't even think adverbs and adjectives were important. They really just spoke very basically. They mostly used verbs, nouns and verbs. And they just, all they were about was fighting. And armor sometimes to them was cumbersome. It didn't, you know, they were just so good that they didn't need it.
Yeah,
they
could,
their
could
shield.
Fight better without it.
Yeah, they could fight better. They, you know, well, they'd wear the helmet, but they literally, we're talking about also a Mediterranean world where it wasn't freezing. And the one thing that the movie did do is that the Persians had wicker shields. And that was true. They used wicker. Yeah.
So they went to that room at my grandma's house.
Yeah.
They did.
Damn it.
They tore apart her coffee table.
How dare they?
You know, they went to Thermopylae, which was a port, but they left from a Persian port at the, you know, all the boats were loaded from a single pier.
Was it the first pier?
It was the very first pier.
Would that be
and
Pier 1?
It was
one?
Laden with wicker.
Just Pier 1, laden with wicker, right?
Laden with wicker, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot of them had wicker shields. Others had this really tasteful kind of it's like a really narrow shelf for the bathroom. Fits right over the toilet. Really handy for underwear
really,
and
yeah,
handheld.
And if you look really close at those shields.
Toilet paper and handhelds.
I mean, they just found a really, really well-preserved Persian shield from the Battle of Thermopylae, and if you look real close, you can translate it, and it translates directly to live, laugh, love.
Oh,
yeah,
that was actually the motto of the Persian Empire.
They were like the
pork, but they wanted to spread the word of live,
Kelly,
life.
Kelly, what are you trying to say right now?
I am for real going to send you a T-shirt. The Lyman Burns T-shirt for this year is live, laugh, lube.
No, it's not.
Yes, wow. It is. In that cursive, so you don't really notice it right away.
I wish I could get a print. I would frame it, put it on the bathroom.
I'll just drive it over.
Bring it on over.
Just bring it over. I'm not
That's
kidding.
That's awesome. That's Check, yeah. Oh, my
you,
God.
You can send your T-shirt request to Limey Birds on Facebook, and I'll send it.
Did you get that plug? Random. She's a pro, guys.
Yep.
Yes, indeed.
Pro. Right.
Not
about
only is she
20th
smart.
Anniversary. So yeah.
Not only is she 20 years.
Well, not me. I've only been 10, but it is 20 years now.
Only 10. Yeah, so what else? Like, are there any like, did they send the guy back to tell the story?
I'd struggle with that.
Okay.
I doubt it.
It almost seems like a common, like he's trying to sprinkle in a little marathon from
right.
However long before that battle had occurred.
I'm not sure off the top of my head. But the Spartan would never have done it, first of all.
That's what I was thinking after this whole show, right? What you've been saying is like, go tell our story, wuss. Like,
yeah. It's like,
yeah, you're missing an eye, so what?
Yeah.
That guy's been dead. We might send him back.
That's right. Maybe.
That guy has Maybe. One
he doesn't
leg
get off his dead ass and start helping out. We're sending him home.
He's so full of dishonor.
Yeah. No, the thing is, I think that it becomes a necessity to have a chorus or a narrator. So,
yeah, that's
you know, Popeye there has to go home.
Right, right.
So it's like you couldn't send one arm Joe, you know? He's like
just a flesh wound.
Yeah, like 45% of his left arm is gone, and he's bleeding out. He probably won't even make it back to Sparta, but at least, you know, it makes more sense. I still got one good eye.
So what?
Right.
So how do we know the story?
It is written about. There were a few ancient writers that wrote about it, but it was later. So your Spartans didn't. They weren't known for their writing, but it was. It was included in some of the plays, but it was Herodotus wrote about it, but that was a couple hundred years later. But that wasn't out of the ordinary, where they would take something and history, especially if it was orally talked about in a certain region, then you would have a historian travel through and then write down the stories. But a lot of the stuff that we have about how what the ancient world looked like was a guy that just went on vacation. His name was Pausanias, and he just wrote about it, and it's boring, but there's these really intricate descriptions of what things looked like. And Herodotus was known for his truth.
And Fodorcetus was also wrote a lot of travel
documents.
God. Oh, man.
What was he not known for?
Not known for the truth? I mean, they were writing about it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of like before the new Star Wars movies came out, and you ask a young person, what is Star Wars about? And they'd be like, I don't know, a guy. And, you know, or any of the ancient writings where you have a long period of time, the Gospels, Jesus, the stories about Jesus, those were written at least 80 years after he died. So it's conjecture. It's really hard to tell. And Herodotus.
I like the fact that the way you set that sentence up, I thought that you were like, the Gospels, Jesus, they were written.
Gospels, comma, Jesus.
The Gospels. That was good. That was a good setup. Can we just talk for a second? Them dudes is jacked. I just wanna get on the record. I might be the first ever to say them dudes in 300 is jacked, but I'm gonna say it. I know it's brave. So controversial. So brave. But
we're gonna get some mail on this
one. Them dudes was jacked. How jacked was them dudes? Like, do you think them dudes were that jacked in real life, or was it like bear fighting jacked? You know what I mean? Kelly knows what I mean.
I'm gonna say bear fighting jacked.
Right, like real fighting, not
they,
like
they fought. Yeah, that because that's all they were trained for. They were the only society of professional soldiers. I mean, you had mercenaries, but not like the Spartans.
Well, also, you have to imagine that anytime peace breaks out, it's got to get pretty dull in Sparta. You just like everybody's like training and training and training. It's like, come on, somebody go to war so we can get something going here.
It's
more likely that instead of sending somebody from Thermopylae back to Sparta to tell the tale, someone would have sent someone from Sparta to Persia to say, hey, you guys want to fight? We got this great little fighting battlefield area we picked out. I mean, you're guaranteed to kill 300 guys. It's going to cost you, but you know, how many you got?
They're going to piece of candium right into the game.
Yeah, so, exactly.
This is just like that scene from E.T. and Reese's Pieces.
That's right.
Yeah, exactly. They just left a lot of you know. Just some subtle hints. They were
so,
cool.
As far as we know, Leonidas never yelled, "Tonight we dine in hell," or "Tonight," and then kicked a guy into a never ending well, right?
There's some historical precedent there. That was just something that people yelled a lot whenever there were, like, if you were camping or you're away from home, all of your favorite restaurants are like leagues behind you, and there's no carryway, and so. Pretty much any time it was dinner time, that was sort of the cry. It's like, oh, I guess it's time to eat.
So I got to ask this, and this
because
might be...
Because it's just not good food on the road. They didn't have
Jesus, Cole. this might be the last thing we get to talk about tonight, because this is the first. All of our issues have been fairly short in the Green Lantern run. This one we're already pretty long, so no pun intended. So this is a question that we talked about before the show, and it's a question that I've been talking about for a while. And it's this: they send an emissary, a Persian emissary, that we have just we have decided like it's our job, like we're the tribunal. That was Zoroastrian, right? We kind of, so they send an emissary. First of all Persians didn't know Greek, or what, ancient Greek, which I still know how to say the cow, so in your face. And by the way, hearing Kelly talk about how Spartans spoke and wrote, I should have taken Spartan Greek. I probably could have passed that class.
It would have been a lot easier.
It would have been a lot easier than what I did, which was cheat. thank you, Brian Licata. One love. you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, you
I
do.
I totally know.
So I'm imagining that they all didn't know Greek. But I'm imagining probably the emissary they sent ahead to say, hey, listen, listen, Sharky, we're coming. So why don't you just roll over, get out of our way, absorb yourself into our army. You ever heard of Genghis Khan? Yeah, he's your grandpa anyway. So
he's everybody's grandpa.
That's right, 23 and me, baby.
Yeah, it's got the we all got that 21 and done.
21 and done.
21 and done was the precursor, where it was just they just sent everybody a thing and said, you're Genghis Khan's great, 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 great.
I should start that. For $1, I'll tell you what 1% of your DNA is.
All we have to do is just slap your address label on there.
Genghis Khan.
You send us $21 and we'll send you a card that tells you whatever we told everybody else.
Genghis Khan. The card just says Vista Print on one side, Genghis Khan on the other.
Clubflyers.com.
That's right. You're getting a Hey Kids Comics commemorative card with that. So I'm going to allow the logical leap that dude knew enough Greek to come over and talk, right? And be the guy that said AO. You know,
well, he did kind of establish himself as a diplomat, so correct. As such, he'd probably have to speak some pretty
he
decent...
He did have that diplomatic pouch.
Yeah.
So, when
that's
King
what
Leonidas
underpants.
Kicks... It's right. That's what I call my underpants. Can't get me on nothing. When Leonidas kicks him into the well of souls there, Kali Ma's him, and yells, tonight we died in hell, or then you died in hell. Does the guy first understand enough Greek to know what he's saying, or is he just babbling like an idiot?
Dying in hell was when they were actually out in the
field.
What's
he say to him when he
kicks him? I believe he says, because the emissary gleefully says that all Xerxes wants is a tribute of earth and water. And in that wonderful Gerard Butler, not Depardieu way, earth and water, you'll find plenty of both at the bottom of this well, which we're about to ruin by throwing 15 dead guys down. And way to go, some kind of leader you are, asshole. And we were going to drink out of that.
All right, so that kills my whole angle. That's fine. I didn't remember the movie correctly.
I appreciated your angle.
Yeah, I just wanted to know if Zoroastrians believe in hell, the concept of hell, which I believe they do.
Yes.
Maybe he thought he said at the bottom of that hell instead of well.
Don't try to defend me, Cole. I appreciate you. You're always trying to defend me, but not on this one. This one was my mistake. I'll own it. Sugar.
But the nice thing is we've got plenty of earth and water.
Which, honestly, was the only thing Spartans ate, and wolves, apparently.
Pretty much. Yeah, wolves.
When you turn 7, you get to go on a wolf hunt.
Well, you can eat wolf buffet.
Any accuracy there that we know of?
I don't... I
Yeah, did they have dire wolves in that city still?
They would have probably gone out on quests. Would they have fought a giant werewolf? Probably not. Not in that region of Greece.
The thing about it is, there are no wolves of that kind in the Greek Isles anymore. Because they were driven.
Have you ever seen a naked Greek dude?
Yes. I mean, how many? And in what way?
Only when I go to the bathroom.
I'm just saying, there might be some confusion.
Sometimes I need to get.
You are true. Yes, that is accurate. I will go on record, Kelly. You are correct.
It's the damn kids that drove the wolves, the Spartan wolf to extinction.
I did meet a guy named Dino Lancraft. His name is like Lancathope. And he did look like a giant werewolf, and he comes from a strong line of werewolf people.
Those are from Thessaly.
I played the Lancathope in
Band. Did you?
Yeah. It was a small town. They did not have a lot of instruments to choose from. And let me tell you, if you show up late, you're going to learn the Lancathope.
There's three recorders in a Lancathope.
That's right. And an ocarina.
You know who else was versed in the Lancathope? For some reason, Vincent Price. I don't understand it, but he was.
Yeah. Well, there was nothing that man couldn't do.
He liked to play Connect Four and play the Lancathope.
That's what he traded for his soul, was the ability to play the
It was the worst Crossroads deal ever.
But let me tell you,
he might have been blackout drunk.
Yeah.
I mean, but
he did cut an album.
Yes, he did. I mean, he used to have the voice of Burl. He traded his Burl Ives voice for that voice and the ability to play the Lancathope. Yeah.
But let me tell you, if you could find a copy of Vincent Price's 21 and Done, it is a damned fine album.
All right. Final thoughts. Kelly, in the grand scheme of all your collected classical knowledge, this story, where does it fall? High or low or in the middle?
I would say middle, because there's stuff that was true. And their attitudes, their dress, their fighting style, that style with the shields, you know, their defensive style where they would stack the shields up was so successful. Guess what?
Phalanx!
The Romans copied that and were very successful for hundreds of years.
They copy that? They copyrighted it, which was a dick move because the Spartans had it before they did.
That's what Rome did.
Yeah, they actually did a lot.
I mean,
lot
they
of that.
Did that to religion. They did that.
Like the George Lucas of the ancient world.
Kind of. Yeah.
They would come co-opt names like Sith, which they stole right out of John Carter.
And the writing, I mean, let's be honest. The writing of the Romans, not
and
as good
water
as the
skiing.
And the water skiing? Is that what you said?
I don't know. He's gone now. Let's just.
Off the field now.
Sun's getting real low.
Thanks to the ancient Romans that it's going to get dangerous, so let's move on.
Fair.
Sun's going down, Cole. Sun's getting real low.
It's getting real low.
got a Black Widow that ass.
There's actually two contexts for that.
There really is.
Just using one of them. The cop fire ass down.
I mean, I think we put a pin in this. It's one of those comics, though, that if you're a comic fan or a budding comic fan, you need to have it on your shelf. You need to read it periodically. It's highly influential. It's really great, actually, as far as a comic book goes. I don't think I would put it up historically with, let's say, Mouse, by any stretch of the imagination, but it's a fun read.
I don't think, unlike Mouse, which was attempting to be a direct analog to tell a tale through analogy, 300 is just, let's take one of the most kick-ass actual events in world history and make it even more kick-ass.
Well, that was a very ancient thing to do, though, was to take a story that was kick-ass and make it into something else that was just as kick-ass, if not more, because they would copy all the time. They didn't care. But I'm going to give everybody a caveat. It's always important to read your primary sources, because chances are the ancient version is even more disgusting and horrifying than the modern one, and I highly recommend it.
Yeah, and even though Xerxes was only 5 foot nothing in reality, he was a lot more of a deplorable, and you know, the debauchery level was even higher.
So
they traded one for the other.
I got a podcast pitch that I'm not going to be on, Kelly. Okay. That's the podcast I want. is you taking the modern representations of classical historical events that we see in movies and on TV and then telling us about how much more effed up they were than what we get to see on movies or TV.
I wouldn't do anything else. I would accomplish no things. I would just be like gleefully going,
and then I would say, welcome to our world. It'd be like Nightbreed. Be like, you're one of us now.
Nightbreed, yeah. Totally. My favorite one, though, I'll throw that out there, the Golden Ass. If you find the right translation, you would just be sick to your stomach. It's
one thing I
so
did,
great.
You know, because I want to feel smart a little bit. One thing I did want to say was, Kelly, do you know the origin of the word barbarian? Because you had mentioned barbarians earlier.
Not off the top of my head.
So I think it was the Romans when the Vikings were raiding, right?
Okay.
And to touch back on how awful the Roman people were, they didn't understand what they were saying. Mm-hmm. So they started calling them barbarians, essentially, because their language, they said their language just sounded like bar, 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 bar. It's a true story. It's real. But that's why they started calling them barbarians. Because they're awful people that just made fun of their enemy to their face.
Oh, wow. It's just like, it's all just sort of bar, bar, Thor, bar, bar.
It's just like, bur, 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 bur. It's like awful. It's awful. But yes, so thank you all. I think that's...
Bar, bar, Thor, bar, bar, meat. That's all you ever say.
But... I'm going to check my validity of sources on whether that was the Romans, but I'm almost positive it was. Kelly.
Yes.
Thank you.
Andrew.
You're
welcome.
You know the parts where you talked and it made sense? If you weren't here, that wouldn't have been in this.
You mean complete sentences?
Yeah, and Cole and I are just making jokes about 30 or 40-year-old movies and... and banana hammocks made of leather. Yeah, thank you for coming on this show and actually bringing the history pain, as you always
absolutely
do.
It's amazing. Always my pleasure.
Do you have do you have any pluggables? Do you have anything you want to put in the plug tank?
We do have the Limey Birds are about to go on their 20th anniversary tour. So if you are in the Melbourne, Florida area, you want to hit us up at the Brevard Renaissance Festival mid to late January and the first weekend of the Florida Renaissance Festival in Fort Lauderdale. And you can come and get a t-shirt that says Live, Love, Lube from me.
Nice.
Because that's the classy lady I am.
I want one so bad.
I'll get you one, buddy. No problem.
I want one so bad. Awesome. Thank you so much. And Kelly, 300th issue. There's no one I would rather have on our 300th issue.
Aww.
You were absolutely, if not our first guest, one of our first guests on this show.
Aww.
And you have gone such people like you and Eddie and Catherine.
Well, with no offense to anyone else, the smartest, because you are able to elevate the education level of this show, while simultaneously you're like It's like, you know how like Groucho Marx could be both the foil and the straight man simultaneously? It's like you bring all of this knowledge and these wonderful insights, and yet you can still be our straight man, and you'd be like the Margaret Dumont to our Marx
Oh,
brothers, and it's
my.
a beautiful thing.
So
Well, thank you.
thank you, and you know, the 300 episodes, we've had so many beautiful, wonderful guests. You know, Kelly has been there pretty much since day one. Eddie, of course, you know, our third
Thank you.
voice, even when he's not here, you know, three sets of footprints in the sand. You know, Michael Price, Catherine, who am I
Eric
forgetting?
Shirey's son, God, I've drawn a blank on his name, who came in for the Shazam stuff. And
oh my God, it was so good.
So many,
Aubrey,
Old Hollywood. And
Jason's birthday is today. Old Hollywood's birthday is today. So happy birthday, Old Hollywood. You know, so many people have joined us, and so many people have done wonderful things. And this has been such a labor of love and enjoyment. And I'm so glad I get to do this with the people that I care about and that I love. And you know, Cole, you're a blessing. 300 issues, they've gone by in a
This has been crazier than when we hit 100 issues or 200 issues. Each one of them seemed like this insurmountable milestone.
Right.
Which is ironic, because usually miles are sort of equated in kind of a linear fashion. You don't actually, you know, climb over them like so much of an obstacle course and basic training. But leave it to me to correct myself.
Yeah, your metaphors are getting weird, dude.
Yeah.
I think 300 broke Cole. I think you were done.
Yeah,
but
there's something in that oil he's been rubbing on his buttocks.
I'll tell you what. I can't.
I know exactly what's in it. I was mixed up earlier.
Farm to table, dude. I got the pedigree. You want to see what's
right.
in it? Yeah, I'll show you. Yeah, buddy. You want to see what's in this oil?
Yahoo.
Flax.
Well, since
how much flax you need in that
shirt.
Oil? Quail eggs and flax. Backyard.
That's right. Fresh
from
mint.
My backyard to your backyard, Cole. Let's rub it in there. Speaking of backyards, why don't you plug up your stuff, Cole?
If I could anymore, but yes, we're of course coming to you from the Jedi Cole universe, JediCole.com. Starting off 2019 in the best possible way, with, you know, just glistening. And you can write to us at jcumail@yahoo.com if you dare. Good God.
What are you doing Sundays?
No, we accept no association with this show. You can find myself and Edward Medina on the Rand Corbett Live over at DallasOnAir.com, and well into, good God, barreling close to 2 years with Isle of Toys at DallasOnAir.com as well. The Rand Corbett Live, first and third Sundays of every month from 10:30 to 11:30 a.m. Central, and the third Sunday of every month preceded by Isle of Toys from... It was at 9:30 to 10:30 a.m., which means once a month I have to get my ass up that much earlier.
That's right. Just remember, at HK Comics Show, for all of your social media needs, your Facebooks, your Instagrams, and your Twitters. And with that being said, live, laugh, lube your comics. we love each and every one of you. Here's to 300 more. Thank you again, Kelly.
And we've got it plotted almost that far.
Yeah, we do. Kelly, you're an amazing woman. Thank you for coming on and dealing with us rapscallions and gutter snipes.
You truly are doing the work of the gods.
You are our oracle. The only difference is...
entire pantheon put up with the two of us.
You're making sense of our nonsense and not the other way around. all right, guys, say goodnight.
Good night.
Good night, everybody, and thank you for listening to Hey Kids Comics.